Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing A Good Snowman Is Hard to Build and Jazz Punk.
Yeah, and Nick, tell me about A Good Snowman Is Hard to Build.
Yeah, sure. So A Good Snowman Is Hard to Build. It is a puzzle game created by three guys, Alan Heseldon, Benjamin Davis, and Drakneck. Guys who they didn't put any, they just came together to make this one game. No company name they've decided on for their collective here. And it is essentially just basically the cutest Sokoban puzzle game there's ever been. You play as a little demon monster guy who's all black, and he just likes building snowmans and then naming them and hugging them, and it's really cute.
It is very cute. Yeah, it's got like this really relaxing, cute soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Ryan Roth, who is the guy who did the Yogg, did that. And the it is basically it's Sokoban with the twist that you're building snowmen. So you have a big boulder, a big snowball in the bottom, medium snowball in the middle, small one on top. And when you push something through snow, it gains size. If it's small, it gets medium. If it's medium, it gets big. And it's just managing that around obstacles and sometimes limited snow, sometimes with more snow than you want.
Right. And limited room space in order to manipulate these snowballs around.
Yeah, and like park benches and planters and the like. Mm-hmm. This is a game that I feel like is aesthetically like super strong.
Yeah.
But is a genre that's never worked for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that obviously, it's a simple Sokoban puzzler. It's obviously nothing that I go seeking out.
Yeah.
Sokoban's not exactly my forte.
Tell us about I know what Sokoban is.
Yeah.
But tell people who maybe don't know what Sokoban is.
Sokoban is typically just a rock shifting puzzle, wherein you have perhaps only the ability to push rocks and you need to manipulate them into a specific pattern or into an orientation in order to solve the puzzle. And there's a lot of variants on it. This is obviously one with just the tiny tweak of it being snow and the snow building up. It's very, very simple puzzle type game that's been around for a very long time.
Yeah, the title Sokoban was originally like a Japanese game.
Yeah.
By the name, and they're originally boxes.
Yes.
And you run into this all the time. Like there'll be a lot of like little Sokoban mini games in any game that has the ability to push boxes.
Yeah.
So there are like Sokoban segments in the early Tomb Raider games and in Zelda games and such. And then there's also variants on it. So like Eggerland or The Adventures of Lolo.
Yeah.
For the NES is essentially a Sokoban game.
Mm-hmm.
Where the principles are the same. You need to avoid, you can never pull. So you need to plan your moves around that, not push your item up against the wall, because then at that point, there's a point of no return. And one of the nice things about A Good Snowman is that it's very friendly. It has like an undo that's in discrete units and a really quick restart. So it has some of that kind of indie game, iterative Meat Boy, Hotline Miami user friendliness.
Yeah.
So you can easily do it over again. But like, I get to a point where these games where I just like I get angry.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't, but it's just the fact that it's like, and I get a sense of satisfaction, like the aha moment is real.
Right.
For me, and everything in this game seems to be combating you getting angry. Like it's so beautiful, it's super cute, the sounds really soothing, the color palette's really gentle, it has those little ease of use features, but Sokoban is just like a kind of puzzle game that ends up infuriating me.
Yeah, likewise.
Eventually.
I think my main problem with it is there's never been any game I can think of that does a Sokoban puzzle with a reward that's worth it.
Mm, it's always like, it's always just the next level. Like it is the point of the game. It's not. Yeah.
So I want to, because you can't like iteratively build too much, whereas like you're gaining abilities or something from doing these. So the fact that it's a super simple puzzle, and if you like puzzling stuff out, it's such a good recipe for a simple puzzle type that can get really difficult really easily, and has super super iterative kind of pieces in between and difficulty. It's so easy to ramp up the difficulty, ramp it back down again. But there's just not enough there for me to hold on to.
Yeah, unlike it's the smallest discrete unit a puzzle game can be,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't act as an ingredient in anything else. Like in other games where it shows up, it is a discrete, like, oh, this is the room where I have to do Sokoban puzzles.
Yeah.
It's never integrated into other gameplay. And it's not like, you know, when you say like roguelike elements, RPG elements or something elements, you can't have like Sokoban elements.
No. You can have a Sokoban section and then you're just doing Sokoban.
A Sokoban game. Right. And there are a couple, this has the snow building thing. Eggerland has the thing how you have to use enemies as blocks sometimes.
Right.
So you can add a little bit of complexity to it, but after a certain amount, like it just kind of breaks down and doesn't work. So they're just like these very like discrete logic puzzles. One of the interesting things about Snowman is that it's eventually going to come to iOS and Android, and I think it would work really well there.
Yeah, it feels like a mobile game.
Yeah, like that's a good platform for this, I think. Just like real simple swipe controls. All you do is move in four directions. That's mm-hmm. literally all you have to do. That kind of bite size, like I just want to solve a puzzle while waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
It would work, but it still feel like it wouldn't be my first choice. Like I would still rather like solve, these kind of like very pure puzzles are not always my thing. Like I prefer something like a Layton or something like that.
Right.
Like, you know, a little bit more complexity or variation. And the thing with Good Snowman is one of the presentation things is that you start off seeing a very small part of this park. And then as you move on, you unlock branching paths. Like, again, that's one of those ease of use features. Like there are you usually have a couple different puzzles you can work on. You're never just at one roadblock.
Yeah, so you're not aggravated into trying to find the solution for this one. You can go do something else and come back to it.
And what that meant for me was that eventually I just got aggravated of trying to find the solution to these two.
Yeah.
You know, or these three. Like, I still got pissed. I just, like, got to each of them. I didn't play this for very long, and I felt kind of bad about it. But I was just like, it's so evident what it is.
Right.
You know, like, it's just like, this is what this is.
Yeah.
You know, this is a beautiful thing that's not for me.
Yeah, we don't usually have much to debate around like price point. We, you know, you and I are a lot of like, you know, if you enjoyed it, it's worth whatever price it costs.
Yeah.
But this for a $12 game, it isn't very long, and it is just increasing difficulty of the same very basic puzzle type over and over again. I definitely do think the price point needs to come down, especially when it comes to mobile. A 99-cent game for this would be amazing.
Yeah, I think you could go a little bit higher than that, even.
Yeah,
you know,
$12
is a little steep, and it's like a lot of love and craft went into it, but the love and craft just went into the aesthetics part of it,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of makes it a little bit like a, you know, and that stuff is great, you know, and that can be worth it to you, and if it is worth it to you, you know, I wouldn't argue you out of that, but I agree. Like I had a feeling that like this was like not for what I was getting out of it, not really worth my money, like a $5 game.
Yeah.
You know, like this could be a premium iOS thing, like a $4.99 mm-hmm. game, and I'd be pretty into it. Because it's not without joy. And if you're like it's a dumb cliche, but like for fans of the genre.
Right.
You know, it is a really good execution of such. But like it felt a little bit like a pretty expensive thing that wasn't very fun to spend time with.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a bummer because I do like the music. I do like the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I do like, you know, naming the snowman. I do think it's really cute.
It is really cute.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate it for what it is. It's just not my wheelhouse.
Yeah. And the next game, so that's probably about all I have to say about it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's about all there is to it. Like I'm on their webpage right now and there's literally a GIF that they have that explains the game perfectly. And it's just like a, you know, 7-second looping animation, but it's like, oh, that's this game.
Yep.
Like it is an easy game to encapsulate, a harder game to explain, and a game that I also had kind of mixed feelings, but
yeah,
we'll talk about is Jazz Punk.
Yeah, so Jazz Punk, the developer is Necrophone Games, and this one came out earlier last year, so this is a little bit older of a game, but yeah, so this is a very interesting game. I don't think these guys are really known for much more. The game was published by Adult Swim Games. It's available on Steam for all three of your desktop OSs. But yeah, so it's like it's a first person adventure game, kind of a little bit of open roam that is highly emphasized on weird comedy.
Yes,
and kind of references and a bunch of hidden stuff. I think that's the only real way to explain it.
It is ostensibly an adventure game, but it's an adventure game with almost no puzzles,
mm-hmm.
no fail states. You know, and the appeal, like the idea, there's like kind of twin appeals to it. Is like one is this like surreal kind of narrative,
yeah,
and two are the, you know, the jokes that are in it. And like what it's trying to do, And we'll talk about how successful it is in a second, you know, one way or another, which like, I don't feel like this is without value. Like, I'm glad I played it, but the, is trying to have jokes come at you with the kind of speed that you don't need to worry about them. I guess like it's constant, like it's a constant barrage of things.
Yeah.
So you get like worn down. Like I started off like playing, like I found this weirdly exhausting for being a really short game. Like I was just like, by the end, I was just like, you know, I started off kind of like, that's not funny. That's not funny. That's not funny. And then eventually something happened that I thought was kind of funny. And I was like, okay, now I'm kind of on board. And I was on board for a little while. And then the game kind of keeps going. And then I was, by the end, I'm just like, when will this nightmare end? Like, I don't know, man. Like, it is a hard, like, what is the point of this? Like, what, what is this? You know, like, it just, I just had this weird, like, the individual units, like, there's so many things in it that I think are supposed to be jokes that you can't really describe as jokes. They're like animations. Like, there are parts there where it's like a toy.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you click on this stove, you get to see this thing happen. And I would say, like, 80% of the content is not interactive in a way that's meaningful. It is, you know, click on this widget to make it do an animation that's kind of surreal.
Yeah. You know? Not even sure what really to compare it to. Like, there's games where they do that, and but there's like it's on top of something else. Like I'm trying to remember these like row flash games where like the puzzle is essentially like which two things do you combine to, or what order do you do these things in order to make to get to the final stage. Mm-hmm. But each time you combine something, you get like some animation, maybe some little joke or some reference or something. There's a whole bunch of these Grow games that were all done by this one developer for a while.
You saying, what are you saying? Bro games?
Grow, I think. Let me see if I can remember them.
Grow, like G-R-O-W?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were these games done by iMaze or IZMaze, E-Y-E-Z-M-A-Z-E. And they were real popular for a while. And I've done a few of them. It looks like they're even still doing them. But that's essentially, you know, it's essentially this sort of appeal, like the seeing stuff happen appeal, but with the actual game around it to a further extent, with an actual like goal in mind, I guess. And this is kind of just the see things happen for a few hours thing.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Like it's non-interactive in a way that I feel like is more acceptable and friendlier to me when it is either making a serious point, like i.e. Gone Home, mm-hmm. or making a, you know, being funny, but also making a point at all, i.e. the Stanley Parable.
Right.
Like this is, you know, the closest thing it is to 40 Flights of Loving.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's 2.5 hours of 40 Flights of Loving, where that game was like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Yeah,
like, I'm not a big 40 Flights of Loving guy either. Like, that game is overrated as shit. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Oh, well. And then, like, just moved on. Like,
right.
I don't think that game is very, very good. But this is definitely stretching it further while still having, like, some points that are kind of higher points.
Yeah. Then, there's like, individual jokes in here that I actually really like. Like,
yeah.
Wedding Cake is
hilarious. Wedding Cake is very funny. Like, let's talk about Wedding Cake a little bit.
Okay. So, at a certain point in the game, is it on the beach where there's a wedding cake?
No, it's earlier than that. It's the level beforehand, I
okay.
think.
So, you find this wedding cake, and it has, like, a computer screen on it, and when you go up to it and interact with it, you can play a Quake clone called yes. Wedding Cake.
With a Q.
Where it is a, you know, essentially a Quake clone, but everything is themed around a wedding, and all your weapons are wedding cake related.
Yeah,
and like as a gag, that's pretty funny. Like it was pretty well done,
and it is you have this little bar in the upper or like log in the upper left that's saying like kill streaks and stuff, but you marry people.
Yeah,
when you kill them, so they're just like names of people. They're just, you know, like, you know, Mr. Destructo married X death, and that's very funny to me.
Yeah,
like that was very good, and I really liked Wedding Cake. And that's probably the most robust gameplay thing mm-hmm. in the game. Like, it's not a great quick clone.
No.
Like, it's kind of slow and shitty.
Right.
But it is genuinely a funny joke. The part in the game where, like, that actually kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I'm into this, happened in the first mission where you go to a place and there's a fire alarm. But then next to it, there's an ice alarm. And if you hit the ice alarm, fire just rains from the ceiling, which is like, okay, that's goofy fun. Like right. It has a little bit of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Especially like the body gross out stuff. Like a lot of people, like you'll walk up to somebody and they'll be like, shave me. And then you get this little Ren and Stimpy ass looking hand controlling a razor and you just have to click all his stubble.
Right.
You know, it has like a little bit of like a Ren and Stimpy sensibility to it that I do like.
Yeah.
It just kind of like, I think that this is the kind of thing that is a joke that can't go on this long.
Yeah. Yeah. This would have done better as a 30 minute flash game or something. I think there's individual, I don't know. Maybe as like episodic sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just about to say like even timed releases, like give me a month between playing these and I'm probably ready for more.
Right. But as one solid piece, it doesn't say anything. There's no collective portion to, like, there's nothing that this all comes down to that would make it worthy of being one solid game. Like, if it's just going to be these individual set pieces, then release it as individual set pieces, I think.
Yeah, and you could, there's all probably all kinds of, like, hand-wringing where you could say, like, no, the point is that there's no point.
Right.
You know, the point is that it's a surreal thing, which, like, you know, fair enough. But like that, it reminds me of like the guy everyone knows in high school who's like the monkey cheese guy, you know, like the midgets on crack.
Penguin,
like
Penguin Doom.
Yeah, exactly. You're just talking about something and they're like, then a bunch of midgets on crack come in. And then it's like, okay, you know, like there's no response to that.
Yeah. Let me look out my spork real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's exactly it, you know, and there's no, this game never quite gets that bad, but it kind of achieves that through volume. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's not, you're right. That's a perfect description of it. I think it's not as high school hot topic, random weirdo bad, but the pure length that it goes to just runs so dry.
And the gag per minute, like, which you'd have to do because it's not like you can have downtime in this game.
Right.
You know, like you have to constantly be barraging the player with this stuff. But again, like the only word I could come away from it with is exhausting. Like, I'm just like,
I will say one thing though. So I have one very positive thing to say about Jazz Punk, and that is the trailer they made for it was fucking amazing.
I didn't watch the trailer for
it. You need to watch the trailer. It's super good. It's like live action and it's really like cyberpunky and great. In fact, like I want you to watch that now just so I can edit in like you talking about it because it's good.
I like how he gets the little paper cutouts of the hand.
Yeah.
So like he uses those in the game and they're exactly the same. Like the idea of him using that instead of his hands.
That was one running gag I liked a lot, actually.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like the setup for the game.
Yeah.
There's also, it's showing things that I definitely didn't see, so I wonder if I missed some stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. Things. That's pretty good. Just random shit to do.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Yeah, like as a 2 minute, like it's still, it almost has the same tone, right? It's like, but as a 2 minute video of that sort of gagginess, it works. As a 3 hour slog through that much gags that often, it runs, it runs real dry.
Yeah. It just, it never gets truly bad, but it never gets great. And the moments, like, I can count on one hand the number of jokes that really worked.
Right.
And the when it starts getting, like, gamier near the end, like, you start doing kind of more mini games and more things that are other than the wedding cake.
Right.
It's like, I got weirdly mad because I wasn't speedrunning, like, we're covering it for the show, so I wanted to see everything. But they were slowing things down in a way, and it felt obligatory.
Without, you know, like, any point. Yeah. Like, that doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, I don't know. There's also a weird sense of self-satisfaction in the game, too, that is like this, you know, aren't we goofy?
No, you know, it's exactly that high schooler thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a friend of mine describes it as really try-hardy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I can, like, they're putting in way too much effort.
Like t-shirts or anything that are Ed Tryhardy?
I don't know. There should be. Yeah. Can it just be like Can that be the jazz punk like t-shirt line? Can it all be characters from you know what, that might be all we have to say on both those games at this point.
Yeah, it's weird though, because it's like I feel this weird desire to like, because there are things I liked about it and I wanted to like it because I like these no fail state exploration games.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't work for me.
Well, and yeah, it's not something I dislike really. Like there's nothing offensive about this game. I just don't really, it didn't strike the right chord with me, and I wouldn't recommend it so much as just like, here's a game.
Yeah, I think if it was like, if you could play it for very free, it might be worth checking a browser out. Game.
If this was Bubsy 3D.
Oh yeah, shit, there you go. Like, cut the length in half and put it on online. You know?
Yeah, which I think Bubsy 3D is brilliant, but yeah, it's like...
Tell developers what to do, because these guys put a lot of work into it. They deserve to make money
right
off their labor. And we are in a minority in not liking it. Like, it has pretty good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not telling them what to do, but for it to work for me.
Right.
That's what I would need. Just real quick, I'm not trying to draw this out any longer than it needs to be, but like, to compare it with the Stanley Parable, which is like another game, like I love the Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
It could be not for somebody. Think about the demo for that,
mm-hmm.
and how that was a perfect, like amazing slice
right.
of what that was. Like this game, because it has nothing to say, needs to be as big and as high quality as that demo.
Yeah.
You know,
it could have just been that length.
Yeah, and that would have been excellent. Like, I think we would have been singing a very different tune.
I agree
about it. So
Bubsy 3D is the same exactly, like thing I can really think of. Like, that's it's just a gag. It's just exploring this gaggy thing, and then there's furthermore to like open world elements of exploring further gags, but the required length to reach the endpoint, if you don't want to explore all the gags, is too long.
Yeah, and when I hit that point of resentment, each individual gag like started making me angry. When they like, I was like, oh, I found a turtle on the beach. If I click on it, it gets some Ninja Turtle gear. Great, I remember Ninja Turtles. Like, good job, Jazz Punk. Like, I just kept like that. Like, good job, Jazz Punk. Was the thing I kept doing. So it's weird. Like, this is weirdly one of the most negative episodes we've done.
I know.
But I will say, like, I think A Good Snowman is a good game.
Yeah.
Just not for me. I think Jazz Punk is kind of a bad game dressed up as a game for me. And that kind of hurts worse because it seems like something I would like.
Yeah.
You know? Anywho.
So I want to say one thing real quick. I promised Brayton I would bring this up, that he mentioned that every single episode we've done for a while has had at least one game that had something to do with darkness or the night or without being sun. And this is the first time we've broken that streak, and it's with games that we became overly negative about.
Yeah, we have to get back into the darkness. Like, what can we do? We'll do like, you know, Painkiller Black. and like I don't know,
obviously that's the way to our hearts, is just to have your title be something bleak and dark.
I can think of games I really like that aren't bleak and dark, but just like not recently.
Yeah,
the whimsying
yep.
that's been going on lately is not my favorite thing.
Nope.
So we're like, somebody gifted me that domestic dog simulator game that Brie was also telling me about.
Yeah, Brie was just talking about that too.
So yeah, somebody gave it to me, which is very nice of them. A Long Way Down is his handle, and it's very nice of him to do so, but I'm scared because I don't want to be mad at the whimsying. Like, I also am aware of our grimdark tendencies, and like, I don't want this just to become like, you know, that like Jazz Punk is that annoying monkey fish cheese kid, and we're like the goth Eric Draven figure, like shrugging our shoulders at him as he like rubs a spork on us and like, I don't know, like tries to loan us Invader Zim DVDs. Like, I don't know.
We're sorry for this hate fest, guys.
Yeah.
We apologize. I mean,
but have you read Johnny the Homicidalmaniac? Like, which I was that guy. I read that in high school. I liked it. I don't know. I'm old.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this annoyed screed.
Yeah.
And next time, let's make a concerted effort to make the next time we do something, have it be both simultaneously not grimdark
and then something we
also
like.
Something we like.
Okay,
so that's our vow to you. If you want to listen to us talk about things that are not dark, and that we like. Next episode is for
next
you.
Episode. This 37. Episode,
maybe not so much.
Yeah,
but episode 37, lucky 37.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
You can skip 36 if you want. I mean, you've made it this far, so I guess you didn't really skip 36. But
yeah, exactly. If you're just working your way from the end backwards, just to see if we shat on these games full of magic and whimsy, we did.
Yep.
I'm not particularly sorry.
I'll apologize. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Gary won't, but I will.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, next time we'll do Penumbra and Amnesia of the Dark Descent.
No. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Oh, like us on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
And rate us, review us on iTunes
and Twitter and
Patreon.com/DuckBTV.
I'm sure you can find us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.